Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ally Mac, and Dylan. And yes, the Braves Rangers series, not pretty. Friday lost 8-3. Saturday 6-5. Yesterday 8-1. Bryce Elder walked 4 batters, gave up 6 hits and 8 runs. Grant Holmes has now been placed on the 60-day IL, and Braves have acquired right-handed pitcher Eric Fetty.
Carnage is the word for this starting rotation. They all the guys that they started the season with have now either, or actually they're all currently on the IL. And remember, Strider didn't start the season in the rotation. I made the mistake, Michael, last night of reading the comments from they, because the Braves announced the move, and I just said, well, I wonder what the reaction is to this, because is it going to be, hey, we get it, it's July 27th, or now 28th, but it was 27th when they made the move, and they're just ravaged with injuries in the starting rotation, or is it going to be ridiculous clown stuff? And it was ridiculous clown stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know what you thought it was going to be.
I thought there might be a little sense of, a little common sense, actually. That's
the common sense. People don't comment on stuff like that, man. It's
couple.
It's the squeaky wheel gets the oil. You know what I mean? It's usually the people who are smart enough to understand the situation are not the ones commenting negative things under the post. It's,
I think it's the extreme levels of the negative, though, for me.
Just, the whole thing's just unfortunate, man. It just, and it's like I've actually been saying this for a while now, that the Braves fans that are downtrodden, I can excuse, because you feel like there was a 8-year window here where you're going to be, you know, beating your way into the World Series. And it just feels like that opportunity has sort of come and gone. This team will bounce back, and you'll get all these pitchers back, hopefully, for the start of next season, if not at some point next season. And hopefully these hitters that are, you know, starting to try to turn it around, especially Michael Harris, hopefully they hit the ground running next year. That's all you can say at this point. Any other sense of critique or anything is just, it's you're just wasting your time. There's nothing left there to be talked about.
This run started in 18, correct? Or was it 17?
You would know better than me. I think
18.
Yeah. The last time the Falcons made the playoffs was 17. So
we talked about that yesterday and how Arthur Blank's 82, and we're like, dude, so they haven't been to the playoffs since he was 74 or
75.
I mean, that's crazy to think about it in that light.
My point is the Braves playoff streak is coming to an end.
Yeah.
And when the Braves started, the Falcons, it was coming to an end. So I'm just saying.
Atlanta sports karma, man.
I'm thinking, did we just sacrifice the 2025 season of the Braves for the Falcons 2025 season?
Let's go.
Okay with that.
I'd take it. I mean, at this point, I have no choice but to take it, but I'd take it.
I would have taken it at the beginning of the season had you told me that, honestly.
Well, moving on to Deion Sanders. He's dealing with some health issues, and he actually mentioned that he had to make a will recently because of them, but there's really not a lot of information around what's going on exactly.
It's a really weird thing because he missed a lot of time during the spring. He hasn't even been around a lot. He even mentioned that he's at Big 12 media days that he wants to get to know some of the players he hasn't really even met. Said at Big 12 media days that he was back and healthy, and now all of a sudden he's, you know, and he claims it's about the health of the team. It is a lot of weird foreshadowing around all of this.
Yeah, we're going to find out later today, like you're talking about, the press conference coming out with the medical team that, you know, we'll get a lot more insight. But he had an amputation in the foot last offseason, and it's just scary stuff, man. It's definitely scary stuff. So I hope, you know, all the best health for him. And they opened with who? Georgia Tech, if I'm not mistaken. So
that's right, in Boulder.
Yep, there you go.
Well, in lighter
news. On a Friday night.
Ichiro Suzuki, CeCe Sabathia, Billy Wagner, Dick Allen, and Dave Parker were all inducted into the Hall of Fame yesterday in Cooperstown. Did you guys catch any of this?
I love the Ichiro part of the speech talking about the Marlins. He talked about the Marlins. He goes, when you guys contacted me to sign me to a contract, I had no idea. I had no idea y'all were actually a team. Oh, man, I thought that was funny. No, but what's awesome about this is I'm 38 years old, and you guys kind of feel this too. It's like the people that I watched as a little boy growing up are now starting to be inducted, and, you know, in my 20s and things like that. So it's just really cool, man. All these guys individually, just great, great athletes, great players, and it's cool to see them up at the podium.
Ichiro, he just looks so much different from when he played. Like, he looks like he's aged so much in the last, like, 6 or 7 years. And I'm not trying to knock on him. And CeCe Sabathia, I mean, I don't even, he doesn't look like the same person anymore. So, yeah, it was cool. It's cool to see. It is weird, though, seeing Billy Wagner go in and CeCe Sabathia and Ichiro. Like, it's very, very weird.
Well, Bubba Wallace won the Brickyard 400 yesterday. It is his third career NASCAR Cup victory, and he's the first African-American to win a major race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Here they come off of turn four. The Brickyard belongs to Bubba. Wallace wins it.
Unbelievable. Awesome stuff, man.
You talk about earning a win.
Yes.
He's,
Lord of mercy.
Allie, he's got, I think there's 7 laps to go, and he's out front by about a little over 4.5 seconds. And it feels, and they had good enough pace that it felt like Kyle Larson wouldn't catch him, Mike. And then they throw the caution for raindrops, right?
Yeah, it starts raining.
And they have a red flag. Are they going to restart it? And then they have they start the race back, and then a lap in, he wins the restart, a lap in, there's a wreck, they do an overtime, and then he has to beat Kyle Larson again off the start, and that is really hard. Kyle Larson is one of the best drivers in any car he gets in, honestly. So I feel like Bubba Wallace absolutely earned that multiple times yesterday.
Yeah, he really did, and honestly, it's fun to see. And to give people a background, like, he's won rain-shortened race at Talladega. Mm-hmm. He won another race at, I believe, Kansas, but mm-hmm. it wasn't his car. It was actually Kurt Busch's car, and they switched for the kind of driver's point stand, or the owner's point standings. So this is, like, him bringing the 23 car, and he gets a chance to speak to Michael Jordan, his car owner, afterwards on the phone, and Michael just says, hey, I'm going to have a couple of celebratory drinks tonight. Michael's usually at a lot of these races. He actually wasn't, so he gets on the phone with him yesterday, but Bubba's got a newborn baby that he and his wife had during the offseason. And to see kind of that moment where his wife and his baby are in attendance and he's kind of laying on the bricks at the start-finish line at Indianapolis Motor Speedway and has the baby there, just emotional as it can get. And then you check Bubba's Twitter like late last night and he's like got his shirt off in his driveway and he's spraying champagne around all of his friends. You can just tell that people inside of the garage absolutely love Bubba Wallace as a friend, and it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, the way the drivers celebrated him yesterday.
Yeah,
coming
really
on
cool.
track. Yeah, you don't see that very often, Allie. You know, Mike, when they, I love they bump them with their tires.
A little tap, little tire rub.
They put the tire mark on the side of their car.
A little nudge.
It's kind of like saying I was here.
I've gotten to kiss those same bricks.
Have you really?
Yeah, because I ran the mini Indy, and you get to go through.
Wow,
yeah.
That's really, really cool.
Do they taste like tire?
Yeah, what is?
I mean, I was like, there's so many germs.
Yeah, right. You're like, how many millions of people have kissed these bricks over the years? No, it is, and it's interesting too. You know that whole place. It's a massive, massive track.
Yeah.
And the whole place used to be bricks, like 4 million bricks or something like that. It's kind of crazy to think about.
There's a lake somewhere on the property that when they pulled most of those bricks up, they put them in.
Yeah, they dumped them.
It's and Dale Jr. did a. That Lost Speedways show, and he went and found some of them. It's pretty cool. I mean, you want your auto racing history. I mean,
there
Mike,
you go.
Mike and I are not, we don't know everything, but we know some.
Well, are y'all ready to hear about my larger-than-life weekend? So, yes, it was the long-awaited trip to Vegas to see the Backstreet Boys play the Sphere. Now, I am a massive Backstreet Boys fan, but I've seen them multiple times. I'm spoiled when it comes to concerts. So when they first announced this was happening, I was like, I'm not worried about it. But I had a friend who was like, no, I've been to the Sphere. If you even mildly like someone, you have to go experience it.
Wow.
Because it's just like unlike anything you're ever going to see. I don't know if I can go to another concert without being disappointed unless it's at the Sphere.
When you said that earlier, I was like, okay, is it because that show was so good because of the group or is it because of the Sphere or is it just both?
Both.
Right.
But I would say the Sphere in general is just such an attraction because the way the Backstreet Boys opened up their show, it was almost like you're on a ride. We were on the floor, so it kind of had a space theme, but we were like shooting through space, and you could feel it. I could feel it in my stomach that we were, you know, it was like those 3D rides when you go to Disney and things like that. Yeah. So it was pretty insane. Stimuli overload. And all of us, it looked like a cult, y'all, in Vegas, because they told us to wear white. So everybody's donning their white dresses and sensible shoes. Because
now, had they passed out Kool-Aid, would you?
Dude, I was thinking the same thing.
Would you have been like,
I wasn't going to bring out Jonestown, but I was like, here we go.
I mean, it was just there. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But it was such, I mean, like I said, it was stimuli overload. And I'm so, so glad I did it, even though it was so pricey. And, you know, anytime you leave the hotel room in Vegas, you're spending at least $100, $200. I mean, you're going to get a breakfast sandwich and it's $30. It's just ridiculous when you go out to Vegas.
I know.
But we had a wonderful, wonderful time. Tried to go to Pauly D. We went, got to the club. It was super packed. And it was right after the concert. So we got there about 11. And we finally get in. My sister Jen and I finally were wiggling our way around. And we look, and it's not Pauly. And so I Googled real quick, like, what time does Pauly D go on? Sometime between 1 and 2 a.m. We're like, nope, we're not doing this.
1 and 2 a.m. is when Vegas is popping. What are you talking about? No, yeah.
But it was so packed. And one of the girls in our group, she actually did stick around and went. Oh, she was like,
good for her.
Well, she was like, no, it was so crowded. I felt uncomfortable, like unsafe. So she left eventually.
Was there a lot of white in there too? Like a lot of people go right over from it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It looked ridiculous.
I went, which club was he playing at?
Omnia.
Is that the one?
I thought you said Omnia.
Is that the one that's like at an out, like they're like part of it's got like at the pool at one of those hotels?
No,
it's
at the Venetian.
Stuff.
We did have a couple girls go to a pool party before the Backstreet Boys concert. They almost didn't make it.
Yeah.
Because there's one
good
club
for them.
Wasn't that bad? There's one club that does go outside, and it's rare. Their pool, it's like where the pool is. And it's a huge club. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. So Vegas did try to keep me though.
Uh oh.
How so?
Because when I was leaving yesterday, my Delta app would not let me check in. I was like, what is going on? Went to the gate or went to the desk to get it fixed. And the attendant was like, your name doesn't match your name.
Oh, dude.
It reverted to my maiden name. And my maiden name is oddly similar to my married name. So it's very confusing and very suspicious. And the guy's like, well, who booked your flight? I'm like, I did. He's like, have you flown with your married name? I'm like, I'm standing here in an Atlanta Track Club shirt. Yeah. I flew here.
Got here somehow.
I'm just trying to go home. And he was like, well, TSA is going to give you a real hard time about this. I'll write it on your ticket, but you're going to have to call the Sky Miles number, blah, blah, blah. And it was so, I'm just like, let me go home. I don't want to stay in Vegas and spend all this money anymore. Yeah. I made it though.
It's one of those times where you look at the guy and you're like, I realize you have a job to do, sir. I really do.
Please.
But let's be serious.
Just switch the MAC to MCA. Come on. That's all you got.
I don't need to take my shoes off anymore. It's not that difficult.
But if you're going to see, if you like any act at all and they're going to the Sphere, absolutely go. Like my sister, Jen, and I already plan to take my mom and my sister back, the other sister back, because it was just absolutely incredible.
Other sister.
I got two of them. I got two brothers too. We got to take them all.
The other sister.
Well, coming up next, we're going to hear from Jeff Ulbrich on how the Falcons defense is looking a little bit different from last year. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.